I'm free. Oh, and just so you know, and I'm never going to be bound again. Let's say it. Say, thank God I'm free. And I'll never be bound again. I'm going to say it one more time. Thank God I'm free. And I'll never be bound again. You know, the Apostle Paul said, I want you to know, I'm free to do anything I want to do. But I won't use my freedom to get bound again. Our freedom will never be used to put us back in shackles. But, you know, I can choose things and go back to an old way. I can be set free and go right back. It's amazing in our institution of corrections in this great nation, most of the people there had been there, set free, and got back there. Most of the people who are there. And in God, when he sets us free, he says, listen, I want you to be free indeed. I want you to be free in your doing. And I want you to learn to be a disciple of this freedom. I want you to learn how to lead other people in this freedom. So as you are a free worshiper, I want you to know that's one of your greatest expressions that you're not bound. And when you get to the point where you can't freely just praise God, something is tied you down. And here's what I love about God. He told us, listen, I want you to be wise like that serpent. And it's an amazing thing that God would put any wisdom towards the serpent who the devil used to slither into the life of the garden. It's amazing that he would see anything worth valuing in the serpent. But the serpent has the ability to crawl out of its own skin and let old things stay old and not need them to go forward. Some of us, to be a free worshiper, you're wearing a garment of heaviness. And you don't know that you can take the garment off. You don't have to wear that. You don't have to wear the problems of yesterday. You don't have to wear the hurt feelings of the past. But you can, the Bible says, he gives you a garment of praise so that you can be a free worshiper. Well, let me give a shout out to everybody listening via live stream. And I'm going to say all over the world, a special shout out to our apostle and founder, Jesse and Linda Rainwater. My parents started this church 22 years ago. Amen. Apostle told me the other day, I've been running for Jesus a long time, and I'm not tired yet. Amen. Meaning there's much work to be done. The vision is still bright and clear. And to all those at Lake Roosevelt helping, Doug and Cindy and anyone else who has lent a hand building a prayer chapel with plans to make a retreat, a place that we can go get away, have a fellowship hall with cabins around it, sports area. That's what we're doing. That's what that's what we're doing. Starting a church in Wenatchee coming October because God says, I want you to go there. I know there's other churches there, but God told us to go there. Therefore, I have to believe we have something to bring. You know, and when I try to count the cost to see if it's possible, when I count naturally, I say, naturally, how do you do it? But I've learned to start taking a new count. When God says, count the cost, do I have enough to handle this? And I believe that there's enough Holy Ghost to handle it. I believe there's enough anointing to deal with it. I believe there's enough power to make it. I believe there's enough riches in his glory to build it. I believe it's possible. And I'm a free worshiper, so I'm not bound to my natural state. But my spiritual state has now spoken and says, I am redeemed. And let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You know, when the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, it's more than just singing a song, say so, say so. But the redeemed of the Lord say so by walking in freedom. How do you say that you're free and you've been set free? Enjoy your liberty. I got a message today. Amen. I got a message. Something about crossing the mountains gives you messages. Any of you ministers out there need a message, just cross the mountain, come back. You always come back with a message. But I'm just excited about what God's doing. Hey, can I name next Sunday? Next Sunday is called Invite Your Friend Sunday. Okay. I have found anywhere that you are abundant in fruit, you share it. Anywhere where you're abundant in fruit, if you have a garden and you have abundance in your garden, you share it. If you feel like you only have enough for you, you're quiet about the harvest. But if you feel like it's abundant, you share it. So next week isn't just invite your friend, it's share the wealth. If you have any fruitfulness in your life, share it. If you have anything to offer, share it. Because the Bible says that when God made fruit, he made it amazing. He made it to be the product of a seed that already had the ability to be the fruit before he ever started. For he declares the end from the beginning. So what does that look like? God declares the apple standing with a seed. And you have to learn to live your life like that. When God says something to you, he'll declare the end and how grand it looks, the apple of our eye, but he'll send you with a seed because he declares the end from the beginning. Now, this seed has the power and the ability to not just be an apple, but orchards of apples. But you always start with a seed. So he says, don't despise small beginnings. For even if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you have the ability to produce not just for yourself, but even the birds will come find refuge in your branches. So we're going to talk today about a place where God has planned for the fruitfulness of life to spring forward. A place where God has prepared in his own thinking and planning and his own wisdom, his own work and his own strength, his own goodness, God has prepared a place that he has invited us to be part of. And it's known as the land flowing with milk and honey. Are you living in the land flowing with milk and honey? Well, just so you know, the milk and honey runs through your mouth. It doesn't sound like you're in a land of milk and honey sometimes. Sounds like you're in a land of nothing good, no one good. A land of darkness and trouble and sorrow. A land of you working so hard and not getting respect for it. That's not milk and honey. Honey comes from the labor of someone else. Milk flows not by the work of an individual, but milk flows when life is birthed. You know, I love to talk about it. I've talked about it a million times, but I'm amazed to look at women around the world who have no milk flowing, but the potential's there. And the only thing they have to do is receive a seed of life into them. And suddenly, rivers of milk can flow. But without the seed of life, the milk holds. There's no milk to be found. Same in our life. And God brings us into a land that's flowing with milk and honey. That means there must be a seed of life in there. That means that something of the potential of the land got triggered. Just like a mother, it triggers. And I remember one time my wife and I finally got to the point where we could go out together, and it was the first time we're going to leave baby at home. First time we're going to do it, because my wife didn't bring our baby out in public for a minute. She was protective, but she was not just going to bring the baby out right away. She was going to wait. And then she wasn't going to leave baby with anybody. But we finally decided just to take a couple hours to get out. And I'm concentrating, like, okay, we get to have a good time. But we went somewhere, and lo and behold, way in the distance, she heard a baby cry. And she said, oh, I got to go home. I'm flowing. Milk is flowing out of me because of the cry of a baby. And it wasn't even hers. Why? Because she had received seed to start producing and to be the land of fruitfulness. So there's a land that's flowing with milk and honey, and God says, I've prepared it for you. But when you get there, you're going to see it flow, and you're going to enjoy the things of life. You're going to enjoy the work of the bee who is working on your behalf so that you can enjoy the sweetness and the taste of the honeycomb. This is the land that God has prepared for us. So let's turn quickly to Exodus chapter 3, starting at verse 8. I hope you can see the picture. But I'm going to give you something, and I'm going to twist it on you in a way that you've never seen it before. Is that all right? You know I like to do that, don't you? We've all heard of a land flowing with milk and honey. But we're all hoping to get there one day when we go to heaven. So we have no expectation of living off that now. I want you to know God wants all of his people to be right now enjoying a land of milk and honey. He wants you to be enjoying that lifestyle now. So we're going to read, listen to me carefully. He says, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites, the Hivites and the Jebusites. God says that when he was bringing the children of Israel, instructed by Moses, out of the grip of bondage so they could become free worshipers, he didn't just want to take them out of the bondage of Pharaoh, but he wanted to get them into a land that's already set up where they will truly find out that they're not slaves, that they're not working just so they don't die, that they're not laboring just to barely make it. But there is a place that God is bringing us in his own power and ability and planning that flows with life and abundance of goodness. And this is where he wanted to get them. So that's why sometimes as Christians, we will recognize and we will admit, I know God has forgiven me of my sins. I know that he has taken me out of the grip of Pharaoh. But we don't have any idea what it's like to live in the land that he really meant to get you into. He didn't just want to get you out of Pharaoh's grip. He wanted to get you into a whole nother place, a whole nother life. And so that's why even though they had been brought out of Pharaoh's grip and slavery, when he brought them to the land, they said, we want to go back to Egypt because we don't know how to live in this new land. We don't know. We know how to work hard. And at least if we work hard, we'll know we'll have just enough to make it for one more day. And then we'll work hard again. But this wasn't God's system. Are you in the land of milk and honey right now? Are you living there? Because this is where God wanted to bring us. And when we see what he did with Moses, Moses showed us how the Christ would lead us out of the grip of the devil. The Bible says that the anointing of God was upon him to set the captives free. Jesus came and says, it's fulfilled in your hearing. I'm the one he has sent to get you out of the prison of sin and death. And the devil's grip will no longer have the ability to hold you from choosing which way you want to go. And so he broke open the doors for us that we could come out. But you have to choose to come out. Amen. You have to choose to come out. You have to choose to follow him. And he says, don't worry. Don't just go anywhere you want. I will lead you. I will show you. I will bring you myself to a land that I've already prepared for you. So everything I ever promise, you can have it. Because it flows with life, fruitfulness, abundance, good things. Are you in the land? Turn quickly to chapter 33, verse 2 and 3. So 30 chapters later, the Lord went from telling Moses, this is what I want from my people. I want them out of the grip of Pharaoh. I want them out of slavery. I want them to follow me. And I want them to enter into a land that right now other people are enjoying, but it's not their land. There are things in the land that flows with milk and honey that belong to us that other people are enjoying. But they're coming as thieves and robbers. They've come another way, and it's not their land, but nobody has challenged them on that. Nobody has come to take possession. Nobody has brought a title deed and said, this is our land, this is our vineyard, this is our garden, and we have the deed to prove it, and we are removing you. And as long as no one does, the people stay. So the wealth of the world falls into the hand of the wicked, because the righteous won't claim it. Because the righteous would rather work a labor to earn their stuff rather than enter into a land that flows with stuff. So in 30 chapters, God tells Moses, this is what I want. I don't want you to just take them out of Egypt. That's not the plan. The plan is to get them into a place I've prepared. And that place flows with milk and honey. So verse 2, Exodus 33 reads, and I will send an angel before thee, and I will drive out. Oh, remember those Canaanites? And the Amorites, and the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Remember them? Well, God says, if you follow me, I'll drive them out. I'll drive them out. I'm going to drive them out. But if you don't go with me, they won't leave. So sometimes we as God's people don't go in to the land flowing with milk and honey because we've already took stock of who's there and how impossible it is to go there. We look at other people, and rather than to be a free worshiper, we are observers of other people enjoying, which we wish we could have, but complain that we don't. Because we're watching the Canaanites enjoy it. We're watching the Amorites enjoy it. We're watching other people enjoy it and saying, how is it that the world seems to be prospering more than God's children? How is it that they seem to be having a better time? It seems like their party is a better party than our party. Maybe I should become an ite. Maybe I should link up. And so we know the prodigal son, scripture says that he left his father's house and he connected himself with a citizen of another nation and became the slave of that nation. Sometimes some of us looking for milk and honey will try to go to someone who seems like they have it all to get connected to that person only to become the slave of them or their institution. And you might need to go kick them out. I will send the angel of the Lord before thee. I'll drive out all these ites. Let's go to verse 33, R3. It says, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, for I will not go up in the midst of thee. I was going to go myself and take you. But after 30 chapters, I can't take a stiff-necked people. For thou art a stiff-necked people, and I'm not going to go with you lest I consume you on the way. I'm going to get, So I'll tell you what, I'm going to pull back. I'm going to send an angel to lead you because I can picture Steve Harvey playing this role right here. He could play it real good right now. He could clown with this, couldn't he? Picturing the Lord saying, I might consume you if we keep walking like this together. You being stiff-necked, me trying to lead you. You know, I'm trying to get you into a land flowing milk and honey. And you're trying to lead me back into the wilderness, back into darkness. I'm going to have someone else take you. Side note, I was just thinking. Apostle Rainwater one time told me he was praying for someone, casting a devil out. The devil was manifesting and speaking out of this person and saying abominations. But after a while, the person kind of seemed to relax, and it looked like everything was good. So the person began to say, okay, you can stop. I'm out. And this was ministry 101. Don't stop using your authority just because the devil tells you he's out. If he's still talking, that means he's still in there. What do you mean you're out? Then what are you doing talking through this man? I'm out. It's good. You got me. You'll find that sometimes in the land flowing with milk and honey, we're called to remove the giants out of the land. And sometimes they'll try to say, I'm out. But what they're saying is, okay, I'm going to stay, but I'll leave you alone. And God says, no, get him out of there. Some of us have sleeping giants in our land that are waiting for the worst time to mount up a war against you because you've left them in the house. You've left them in your life and just feel like they're under control. Let me tell you something. Devils are never under control. You're not going to make them act nice. It's like taking a little kid who's undisciplined to the store. But before you go in the store, you pray, Father, don't let this child act up, or I might consume him on the way. But no sooner you get in the store and their eyes grow and they start wanting everything they see, and you say, you know that there's a showdown coming because you're going to have to say two letters, N-O, no. And that kid throws himself down and starts kicking and screaming. And here you are in the middle of this place and thinking, Lord, but I thought I prayed that this wouldn't happen. Well, you brought an unruly child into a place hoping their flesh would be good. You can't play with devils. You can't play with the enemy. He has to be removed out of your life. He has to be utterly removed out of your life. The Bible says that when a house, which we are of God, raise your hand. You're the temple of the living God. You're a house of God. You are a house of God. You yourself. The Bible says he dwells not in temples made with man's hand, but temples that he made for himself. You are the making of God. You are the temple. The Holy Ghost lives in us. And he doesn't dwell with other spirits. And this is a land flowing with milk and honey for God's people, for God's purpose, for God's church, for God's children. And he will not compromise it with any enemy that says, okay, we'll be good. Sometimes our land isn't flowing with milk and honey because the enemy's still there. Because the enemy's still there. So we have to make sure that we're not the stiff-necked people. Are you stiff-necked to the Holy Spirit? And just for reference, if you'll jump really quickly with me, go to Acts chapter 7, verse 51. Our ministers know especially the story of Stephen. Stephen was a martyr. He became one of the first deacons of the church in chapter 6. Chapter 7, he goes on to preach the gospel, showing signs and wonder, having power, wisdom, and authority. And people got mad at him because he was being moved by the Holy Spirit. He was trying to offer them some of this milk and honey. And he brought them all the way back to the beginning of time, to the place where they're at. And they're saying, you know, every time in Scripture that you guys have memorized and the prophets told you, you can quote the prophets, but you don't understand, you're the same people who killed the prophet. And you're still doing it today. You're still stiff-necked against following God to where he's trying to take you. You're still resisting And you're still in slavery because of that, and you don't even know it. And so he says this, he says, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do you. So what he was doing, though they were the Jews who were circumcised, they were physically circumcised. But I want you to know, if you're not spiritually circumcised, there's no physical circumcision that will do anything for you. They knew the scriptures, but they stood against the scriptures. They called for the Lord and rejected the Lord. They wanted a land flowing with milk and honey, but they preferred the pride of their own labor. They were stiff-necked from going to a place where if you can come in and agree with life, it'll flow to you. But if it flows to you, there's no pride of accomplishment there. What can I say if I drank from a flowing river? Look at the river I made. If I eat the honey from the work of the bee, what pride can I take? Some of us would rather have a wage than inheritance. So we can't be stiff-necked to go to this land. Isaiah 1:19. Isaiah starts out his book by telling us something simple. He says, if you will be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Now, this is where I'm going to have to start getting deep. So this is that place if sleep is starting to come on you, shake it. This is that place to, when the Bible says, let those who have an ear hear, hear what the Spirit's saying. Watch me now, because I'm about to open it for you. If you be willing and obedient, I would underline the word be. Not act, not try, but being is a state of who you are. God says, I love a cheerful giver. Why? Because their giving is coming out of their being, not out of their necessity, they have to do it. It's part of who they are or why they're doing it. Is anybody here a human being? Well, how hard do you have to try to be then, a human? Well, because you're a human being. You're not a human doing. You don't become a human if you do certain things. You're a human because you, that's who you be. So he wants us to be, so to become that person who's willing and obedient to follow after God's plans and ways, which means I'm going to have to leave the old one. I'm going to have to be this person. And he says, you shall eat the good of the land. Some of us, the reason we're not eating the good of the land is because we're too busy harvesting the bad of the land. It sounds like a simple point, but listen very carefully. Some of us aren't eating the good of the land because we don't have time, because we're harvesting the bad of the land. You ever been so busy you can't do what God wants? What are you harvesting? You ever been so busy you can't follow the dream God gave you, the vision God gave you, the word that he spoke, but you can't do it because you're too busy working, trying to harvest something that's not what he has for you. But you feel you can't let go of it and you can't stop, otherwise you won't have enough. Slavery. I can't stop being a slave to be free, because if I stop being a slave, there'll be nothing. I won't have. So I can't do that. So I can't be that. I can't be that. On my day off, I'll try to do it, though. After I finish this, I'll try to do that for you. Adam and Eve were in the garden, only enjoying the fruit of good. They did not know evil. They only knew the good. And God says, out of all these trees of good fruit, eat. But that one, don't eat. The knowledge of good and evil. Once they ate the knowledge of good and evil, what they did is they ate of the fruit that wasn't good. Some of us are so busy eating what's not good, we can't figure out why. How come there's no more milk? Well, it only flows through the good seed. It only flows through the seed of life. It doesn't flow through the seed of sin and death. It doesn't flow in there. Yeah, but God's merciful. Yeah, that's why he took you out of the grip of Pharaoh. He's merciful. He came and got you. He came and said, follow me. He came and told you what he has for you. He is merciful. If that's not grace, what's grace? Who bought them way out of slavery? Who bought them themselves out of sin and death? Nobody. But you have to be willing and obedient. You can't eat the good of the land if you're not willing and obedient. Who told you that lie? It don't matter. Stephen said, you stiff-necked people. So you know what they did? Rather than to be willing and obedient, they just killed him. So that's why the prophets of God will always be martyred in this world. Always be killed because someone is telling them what God has for you and what you have are never going to come together until you let go, repent, follow him, and receive his portion. You can't keep doing your thing and have his thing. But his thing is going to have to become your thing. And if you follow him into it, you can have it. So are you still a free worshiper? Are you still a free worshiper? Come on, are you still a free worshiper? Are you still a free worshiper? Are you still free? Well, I want you to know you're supposed to be eating the good of the land. Has anybody here crossed the Jordan River? Anybody crossed the stream of living water? Has anybody had the Spirit of God, which is the second baptism? The first water baptism was the sea that they went through, forgiveness of their sins. And they were separated from their enemy, from Pharaoh. And they went through a baptism, the scripture says. And they walked through the sea, first baptism. But they resisted the second baptism. The second baptism, which is where the promised land is, everything that flows with milk and honey is only once you cross the Jordan, which is the Spirit of God. You're going to have that baptism to be able to see it. Scripture says it like this. If you're not born of water and of Spirit, you can't even see the promised land. You can't even see the land that's flowing with milk and honey. He said, the kingdom. You can't see this kingdom. You can't even see it. You can't even see it if you don't cross the Jordan. It's on the other side. You're trying to eat the good fruit in the wrong place. It ain't even over here. You want a Wenatchee apple, get in your car and drive over that mountain and see where the good apples are made. You pull into the city and it says, Wenatchee, this is the world capital of apples. We are the number one place in the whole world for the fruitfulness of an apple. You want a good apple? Come into the land. And guess what the land is surrounded by? Rivers. Of course it is. Rivers. Are you willing and obedient is my question for you. Okay, then let's keep going. We're willing and obedient. We got this. Joshua chapter 5, verse 12. You remember Moses was told from God, chapter 3 of Exodus, this is my plan. We're going to take these people out of bondage. I'm going to lead you myself, and I'm going to take you into a land that flows with milk and honey. But it's on the other side of the Jordan, so you're going to have to follow me across the river. I'm going to bring you. Then he got upset with the people and said, this relationship's getting tough, and I don't want to kill you. So I'm going to have the angel take you. Moses got as far as the Jordan River, And the Bible says he got to go up on a mountain and look over and see the land, but he never got to go enjoy the land. Moses dies, and so do all of those who were stiff-necked in his leading as God led him. And so now Joshua becomes the leader, and Joshua is the one who finally got to bring the children of Israel into the promised land, into the place that's flowing with milk and honey. So there's a man that got to see what it was like to know it's something over there, but never get to enjoy it. And finally, after 40 years of only having, I mean, they're just getting manna from heaven, and we can only have enough for today. Water's coming out of a rock. We're God's providing for us, but he's only providing for us in a way that we don't get so comfortable we don't want to go there. He wants to provide for us in the wilderness in such a way that I say, I need to keep going, because what he said he really has for me is over there. And this is just to get me by. This is just to hold me over. Some of us are still living on just getting over. We're just trying to get from one bill to the next bill rather than to be debt-free. We don't even have that mindset because it's on the other side of the Jordan. We don't even have the mindset that, well, everybody sins, so this addiction I have, I'm just going to try, but if I make a mistake, no problem, because they don't see themselves ever getting across the river. But that's where the milk and honey flow, which is the place God says, that's where I want you to be. So now here comes Joshua, and he finally gets all the people. If this aisle is the Jordan River, he crosses the river, and now all the people are over here in the promised land giggling. We're here. And they're waiting for something to happen, right? Like, okay, we're here. What's going to happen? Watch what happened. The manna ceased. The manna ceased. God rained down bread from heaven every day in the wilderness for them. It rained every single day. Think about just knowing God gave us manna from heaven every day. But I could only collect enough for today. Meaning, I couldn't learn how to turn a lawnmower into a scooper and put it into the bag and then collect a whole bunch of the bags and then put up a little storefront and start selling the manna. So I was never going to be able to greatly prosper from the product of the manna, but it is enough to get me over until I get to the land. It's enough to get me there, but it's never supposed to be enough that I want to stay there. I've had some needs where somebody came up and gave me $20. Now, my need was thousands of dollars, but the $20 let me know that God is mindful, and if I keep going, I'm going to make it. So I thank God for the $20, but that's not the end of my blessing. That's just enough to get me to keep going. Some of us just stop there. Can't stop with the 20 because you're still in debt. We got to go to the place that's prepared on the other side of the Jordan. The manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn. It's time to quit eating that old stuff. It is time to get a new diet. And our new diet has to be the fruitfulness of the new land. It's a whole new diet over here. We're over here trying to figure out what's going to do, but fear started kicking in on this side of the Jordan. Why did fear kick in? We had learned how to eat the manna, and we knew, God, if the manna stops, what are we going to do? If the manna stops, some of us here are in that situation, and we're fearful, because it seems like God has stopped supplying for us. But the only thing he has done is brought you to that place where he's demanding you to change your diet. He wants you now to start eating the good of the land. He wants you to start eating the fruit of the land. I'll keep reading. It says, neither had the children of Israel manna anymore, but they did eat the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. Oh, that's a good news to me. So anybody that crosses over, God wants you to now start learning to eat the good of the land. Let me tell you what the good of the land is. Again, I already told you. The honey is some bees that are working while I'm sleeping, as directed by God, to produce something for me that will sweeten my life. And it's amazing that honey, as sweet as it is, it's so healthy. Everything in this land, the product of it, is good for you. Everything, even the sweet stuff over here, is good for you over here. Over here, it's processed sugar and candy bars because you need enough energy to get through the day. I'm guilty. Raise your hand with me. Come on, I'm not alone. I need a Snicker, otherwise I turn into that guy in the commercial. Right? But God wants us over here on a new diet to eat the good of the land that produces life. It flows with it. And you know what else I've found out? Sometimes, until you get a seed of life into a land, no milk is flowing there until you get there. So that's why the Bible says we live by faith, not by sight. Because sometimes you'll think, I thought the promised land was supposed to flow. Well, then you need to get there and be willing and obedient. And when you get there as a seed of life and become willing and obedient in that place, just like a mother will start to produce milk, that place will start producing for you. Sometimes we always feel like this. Let me come in here. I'm going to come to this church for a while. My vision's not coming true here. I'm going to go to another one. I'm going to go to this. It's not working there. Oh, it's another one. Oh, it's not the places.
Thank you, Pastor.
It's not the places.
That's right.
I don't know why. This must be a very short person I'm fighting, because when I shadow box, the devil under my feet, man. He is low, 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 low. But they did eat the fruit of the land that year. I'm trying to tell you this. God wants us to eat it this year. God wants us to eat it this year. He doesn't want you to wait like, okay, sometimes we try to forecast it like we used to do in the old land. Well, maybe in 5 years we can finally do this, and then we'll be able to do that, and then maybe this will happen. Stop! This year. This year. This year. This time. This day. On this morrow. In this place. I want you to eat the good of the land. You've crossed. You're in the place. Now what do you need to do to eat it? What did Isaiah say? What did Isaiah say? 119? I just read it. If you be willing and obedient, you will absolutely eat the good of the land. So now that you're there, now be. Be who you're supposed to be. Do what you're supposed to do, because it's who you are. I've been dealing with someone in council, and they're having all kinds of challenges of unfair things coming at them and against them. And they keep telling me why they keep responding and why they keep concentrating on the problem and not the answer. And they're frustrated that here I've been doing all this, but someone else is doing something that is not right. And so I have to keep doing the right thing. And I said, do what's right because it's right. Do what's right because it's right. Do what is right because it is right. Well, since you did that, I'm not going to do this. That's not the land he's talking about. And so what you end up doing, I'm not going to do it because of them. You say, I'm not going to bear the fruit, and I'm not going to drink the milk, and I'm not going to eat the honey because of them. I'm not going to enjoy the good of the land, but it's their fault why I'm in this desert. And we point to someone else. And I, you know, let me just call it clear. It's you. It's you. It's you. If I'm, listen, if I'm over here in this land and my daily meditation is oppressed and depressed, it's not the people I'm with and it's not the circumstance I'm in. I'm not being willing and obedient. It's me. Because I'm going to have to break it down a little bit for you. If you want to eat the good in the land, you. He didn't say, you want to eat the good in the land? Make your wife be willing and obedient. Some of us are so busy trying to make other people. But ourselves, there's no milk and honey flowing. Why? Because I need to eat your fruit, not mine. So we're trying to make other people. Some of us are telling our kids, don't frickin' cuss. But it's, we're not producing that fruit. We're still producing bad fruit. But if our kid dare produce the same fruit, they're getting a whipping. Why? Because I expect you to be willing and obedient so I can eat the good of your land. Pastor, I need some encouragement. Be willing and obedient. And this year, you can enjoy the fruit. That's what I like about God. It doesn't have to be college. You got to go 4 years to try to get a job. Isn't that crazy? Wait a minute. I paid you $150,000 to get C's so I could then try to get a job? What kind of system is that? Don't get me wrong. Get educated. But think about the system. Doesn't it sound funny? And God says, oh, with me this year, you can eat the good of the land. How much does it cost? That's a good question. Can we see how much it costs? Go to Isaiah 55:1. Guys, I didn't put this on there, but since you asked what it costs, I'm going to show you. Thank you for asking. Isaiah 55, verse 1. How much is the fruit of the land? Oh, everyone that's thirsty, come to the waters. And he that has no money, come ye and buy and eat. And come buy wine and milk without money and without price. How much is it? It's free. Whoever wants to come, but a stiff-necked people would rather sit over here and complain and slave away and never enjoy it. Oh, church. How does that song go? Oh, that the church would arise so that we could see through Jesus' eyes. We could show the world heaven. Unfortunately, this is what we're doing. Oh, the church is so sad. We have no money and we don't know if we can make it today. Maybe someone will show us favor and give me a dollar. This is going to shock you, but I made that up. I made that up. Without price. John 10:10. I'm trying to preach to someone. I'm trying to let you know you can have it. I want you to know God wants you to have it. Watch this. If I'm over here in the promised land that flows with milk and honey and is exceeding fruitful, how much milk can I have? No, I can't have too much. Because if I have too much, there's other people that don't have any, so I'm only going to drink. I remember one time when I was little, Mom used to have Pepsis, but we had four kids, And I was the baby. Larray being the eldest, Jesse, my brother Heath, and then me. And we said, Mom, Mom, can we have a Pepsi? We don't drink Coke. Can we have a Pepsi? And she would say, you may split one. Now, four sugar hogs like us trying to share one can of pop, you know there's going to be some challenges. So you're going to have to get legalistic in the division. Because if you just say, you take a swaller, and I'll take a swaller, and then you take a swaller, and then someone gets the last swallow, you know that's not going to work. So what we would do, if we get four cups out, and the person that got to pour all the four gets the last pick, which put the emphasis of them making a fair pour. It took a long time for us to come to that system, but that became the system. And we still have them, these little plastic orange, yellow, green cups. Remember those little old plastic ones? And for some reason, we still have them. And it would put about an inch into each cup. It would like shots of Pepsi, right? And it was a 20-minute process to pour it and fight who gets to pick and all that. And by the time you finally got it, after all that problem, you went, and that's all. And all you're thinking of is, it wasn't even worth it. And some of us are over here in the land of milk and honey thinking that way, when you can have as much as you want because it flows. It's not going to run out. There's enough for all the babies. There's enough for all the children. You can have as much as you want. You remember when Jesus fed the 5,000 men, not even naming the women and children? Two fishes, five loaves, and he handed it out. He didn't go there and say, two bites for you and one bite of bread. Two bites for you, one bite of bread. The scripture says they gave them until each individual ate how much they wanted. Each individual ate their amount, and there was 12 baskets left over. So there was not a problem of enough. And some of us are over here in the promised land trying to make sacrifices to be a good Christian for God. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. But Paul wanted us to get in a relationship where he says, listen, I want God to provide for you according to his riches and glory. I want you to be in conversation and in communication with God who can supply above and beyond what you could ask or think. I want you to know the God who is El Shaddai. It's more than enough. I want you to be like King David, where you said, my cup is not filled, it runs over. Why? Because I'm in a land that flows. It flows. John 10:10, the thief comes not unless he's going to do something. That's why I said you can't just leave the thief there and tell him to be a good boy. Because he only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I know, but he promised to be nice. He's not going to mess up Christmas for us this year. Until the 24th comes. And then suddenly he rises up. You know the old story. There was a frog and a scorpion on one side of the pond. And the scorpion said, hey, frog, I can't swim. I need to get across. Will you give me a ride? Frog said, no way, scorpion. You're a scorpion. And I'll get halfway through, and you're going to sting me, and I'll die. Scorpion said, that would be stupid, because if I sting you, taking me across the river or across the pond, then we'll both die. And so frog said, okay, then I'll take you across. Scorpion crawled on frog. Got halfway across the pond. Scorpion stings frog. Frog starts to go numb, and in his last words says, why would you do this? Now we're both going to die. Scorpion says, you knew I was a scorpion from the beginning. The devil won't act good He only comes. He only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So if we recognize he's there, we need to get him out. The Bible says, submit to God, or be willing and obedient, resist the devil, and he will flee. But the key is, submit to God, which is saying, be willing and obedient. Don't be stiff-necked. And in that, resist the devil, and he will leave. It doesn't say that, and he'll be a good boy, and he'll be nice. No, he'll flee the territory, because it's not his. Thank the Lord for Jesus. He says, but I come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Listen to what he's saying. Put it in the Amplified for me. Because sometimes we think, you know, life and life more abundantly just means, you know, a good life and good life. But this is what I want you to understand about abundance. He says, I come that they may have and enjoy life. Some of us feel like, okay, I'm a Christian, but I'm really not enjoying life. Just to be honest with you, it's just a grind. It's, you know, I have no peace, really. Have no joy, but one glad morning when this life is over, I'm a fly away. And so we're not enjoying it because we think, you know, eventually it'll be better. Are you enjoying this life? Yeah. Just because, you know, a free worshiper is enjoying it. Yeah. Woman at the well, you serve a God that you don't know. We know who God is. And God is searching for people who will worship him in spirit and truth. He's searching for worshipers who will worship him willing and obedient. And in their worship, he provides for them an abundant life. And he doesn't just give them barely enough, but he wants it to be abundant to the fill until it flows over. I'm a free worshiper. I'm a free worshiper. I'm a free worshiper. That was good, right? Well, let it flow over in your life. Freely you have received. Freely give. Ooh, but I only have an inch to drink myself. Because we already split it up. That's all I got. I can't share with you. Because I only got an inch. Then I'd have a half inch. And then if I get a half inch, I'm going to make you poor so I can pick first. We just have these things going on in our mind. I'm going to bring it home for you, Dwayne. I'm going to bring it home. So God wants it to flow until it overflows. Is there anything in your life that comes from God that you would say this day is overflowing that you have to spend time thinking how to distribute it? Is there anything in your life this day that comes from God, that came from willing and obedient, that came from the promised land, that came on the other side of the Jordan, that you know you tapped into it because God had prepared it? You didn't earn it, you didn't make it, but it's flowing to the point in your life that you have to give it away. Is there anything in your life flowing like that? Or are you still trying to simply fill up for yourself? Are you just trying to get an inch and a half of Pepsi? You trying to increase, looking for a little raise? A little more? Jump to chapter 15. Verse 7 and 8. These are some of my favorites. You guys enjoying this?
Yes.
Just so you know, I'm a Seahawks fan too. Are you a Seahawks fan? Because you're wearing a shirt. If you weren't, I was going to ask you to sit two rows back. But since you are, you want to sit up front? Are you good right there? Yeah. Come up here. Come on up front. Yeah. Now, if you sit up front, you have a new job. You can't just root them on. You got to pray for them, Seahawks. She will. Thank you. Mom and sis, you guys can join her up there. Because you know why? Her promotion is good for the whole family. When God moves us forward in things, when God brings us forward, it's good for everybody around you. Why? Because your cup isn't just filled. He wants to fill someone else's cup. I have found out that sometimes God simply wants to fill my cup, and he's not even really thinking about me, so to say. He wants to fill someone else up and wants to use me to do it. It's kind of like Elijah, during a famine, was told to go to Zarephath where there was a widow woman who would sustain him through the famine. But God wasn't really trying to sustain Elijah, even though God was trying to sustain Elijah. But God's plan was, if I can have you come over here to this woman, she can keep giving until her cup won't run dry. But I need a seed to make the milk flow. So will you be that seed so the milk can flow and it won't stop for her? And as long as he was there, it flowed for her. Maybe God has for us to start living in this land and to be willing and obedient so we could be the seed that makes the milk flow in our family, in our workplace, in our community, on the bus, wherever we go. Maybe God wants us, but we're too busy trying to get one more. One more. Chapter 15, 7 and 8 reads, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you." Watch this. "Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples." I like that. Couple things. You have to come over here and produce a whole bunch of fruit if you want to give the Father glory. All of your sacrifices and hard work over here isn't how you bring him glory. "But I did this for God, and I tried so hard, and I spent this much time, and I gave this much, and I did that." And it's all out of your labor. He wants you to start producing out of his labor. He wants you to start producing out of his life. And when we do that, the abundance of the fruit doesn't make him mad. Oh, they're starting to get way too much. But it says, the more we produce, the more he's glorified. He loves it. And Jesus goes on to say, "I don't want you to just be my disciple of trying to be good. I want you to be my disciple of being fruitful in the land that flows with milk and honey. I want you to be fruitful." That's a disciple of mine. That's what a disciple is. A disciple isn't disciplined in the traditions of the church. Even though in order to be willing and obedient, there are many of the traditions that will continue, but it comes from being the church that causes me to do it. Because I have found just by doing will keep me there. But when I come over here and just let it be, it's already in me to flow. It's already in me to flow. Jesus put it like this: "Hey, anybody who comes that's thirsty, come to me, and out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water." It'll flow. I don't know how to do it. I don't know how to do it. Yeah, that's because you're too busy trying to labor to try to do things. Come over here and be and see if it doesn't just flow. "Well, I want to speak in tongues." Well, then you're going to have to learn to not be stiff-necked and let it flow. Because you're not going to ever get it by trying to do it, working it. You can only do it by just letting it come. If you be willing and obedient, you'll eat it. Don't worry, I know some of you have fantasy drafts today. And you're looking at the clock saying, is this one of the long ones? This is not that. For I draft as well. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, this is that place of abiding, continuing, staying. We live here. We're in the land. We don't leave the land. Some of us come to the land on Sunday to visit and then go back home after service to the other side. We cross over. Praise the Lord. How are you? Awesome. Another day, another dollar. Got my mind on my money and my money on my mind. But God has tried to bring us to somewhere where he said, come and buy with no cost. Come over here and have it freely. Come, enjoy. Are you enjoying this life? Are you enjoying this life? I want you to know in God's perfect plan, it's good. He wants you to enjoy it. He wants you to know that Richard Sherman might be able to make you scream because he gets an interception, but you have the ability to pour out of your cup that Richard Sherman needs to drink. You have the real Gatorade. You know what I'm trying to say? We're looking at everybody else and what they're doing, and God is saying, quit just observing and become a free worshiper, which will cause you to pour out of what's flowing in you. When I work for it, and I get $100, and you want some, I begin to take in consideration how many hours I worked. I begin to take in consideration how long it'll take to replace what I give you. And I begin to consider how hard you didn't work for what I got. So that affects my giving. But over here, if I got it off an apple tree, that I just went and picked a bag of apples, I don't think, I worked awfully hard for these apples. It's, you need an apple? Oh, man. Here. So our giving is one of the sure signs of what land you're in. This is not the Heisman pose. This is the land that does not flow with milk and honey. Some of us live our whole lives. We look around, see if anybody's there before we pull out something to eat. Oh, hi. Because we're afraid someone might want some. But over here, we're looking at the trees and we're looking around like, I need some. Who else? I need someone. We got too many apples here. We can't let these rot on the tree. They're going to drop to the ground if we don't eat them. Is there anybody? Come eat that. I know what I'll do. I'll make a Wagner pie. If you've never had a Wagner pie, just so you know, it's the ninth wonder of the world. So, Wagner, raise your hand. All the Wagners in the house, raise your hand. Just find a Wagner, bring about $43, and they'll make you a pie. All right, Pastor, bring it home. Ephesians 3:20, it's one of our favorites, right? Now, according to him, who's able to do exceeding, remember this word again, abundantly, Remember last time he said that in John 10:10? We put it in the Amplified, and that word meant not just to fill up, but to fill it up until it flows over.
Amen.
So I need to be concentrating on being with the one who can not just fill my cup, but make my cup run over. He's able to do exceeding abundantly beyond what I can do within myself, what I can do with my own thinking and doing and strength and all 4 years of college and that debt of $150,000. And I mean, I've been going to the Y lifting up, but it's beyond that. God has something for us beyond that. And my worship team can take their spot. God has something beyond you, but it's on the other side of the Jordan. It's beyond your thinking. It's beyond your doing. Faith will move you beyond what you can produce. Faith will make you go to a place where God has it to flow with things you hadn't ever thought of before. It produces fruit that you hadn't heard of before. It sustains people not with barely enough, but with abundance. And as long as there is a baby who will cry in the land, the milk will flow. As long as there is a need for it and someone will eat it, it will be eaten. It'll just bear fruit. But I want you to know that this power, the scripture says it works in us. So here's the mystery. The land that he's trying to get you to is not to go finally reach a physical place. But the land that flows with milk and honey is me. And I began to learn to eat the fruit of God's power and life in me. The seed that has quickened and made things start to flow where there was nothing flowing before. And I have to learn to quit getting by on just enough and learn to eat from the abundance of the good in the land, which means I need to produce the good in my land. You're the land. That's why the Bible says there's four types of soil. There's four types of land: wayward, stony, thorny, and good ground, good land. And in the good ground, 30, 60, 100 fold, it produces. And it doesn't produce by the effort and by the labor of a person, but it produces by the ability of the seed. So I can't be looking to finally get to a place where it's flowing, but we have to become the place. Is that right? Amen. Would you stand with me?